Good afternoon. This is Rick Thomas, your host of Yachting International Radio's Yachting USA. And this afternoon, I have the pleasure of sitting with my friend, Bert Fowles. Bert is with Island Global Yachting, otherwise known as IGY. They are a very well-placed marina business in the yachting industry. I think almost everybody and anybody watching this podcast knows Bert, but let me be pleased to introduce Bert.
Rick, it's an absolute pleasure. You know, I'm a fan of yours for a long time, and it's great to, you know, bring some insights to the industry. So it's great to be here. Current capacity, I'm the Vice President of Marketing for Island Global Yachting, IGY Marinas. We have 23 marinas across 13 different countries, and I'm also the Chairman of the United States Shipyard Association.
Yes, I'm aware of that. In fact, you and I both have had the privilege and the responsibility of sitting on the board of the USSA. Mm-hmm. And maybe one of these days I'll get you on board ISS as well, which is another great industry organization I'm a big supporter of.
I have nothing to add. I think that's amazing. And the ISS is wonderful to what they bring. I attended the dinner last year. It was an amazing event and gave out some amazing awards to some really wonderful companies and crew.
We're just getting our wheels back under us. I mean, COVID knocked that one down hard. And we're looking forward to this year's event, which is going to be back at the Broward County Performing Arts Center, back to its original glory black tie type of event, which is going to be good for the industry, good for the organization.
Good to hear.
Before we get too deep in, too, I also noticed that you guys seem to be a supporter of the International Seakeeper Society. Mm-hmm. And that's also just a little shout out. This organization I'm very near and dear to, and very much advocate anybody who's interested in the ocean ecology, in citizen scientry. Good organization to throw some weight behind.
Well said.
Good. So let's start out. We were talking the other day, prepping for this conversation. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something I thought was interesting. And I'll probably bring this up again in the conversation. I talk about the sacred trinity of our industry, what keeps this industry healthy. And one of the three legs that I define or identify as sacred is the owner.
Yes.
We're not much of an industry without the owners that make this industry possible. And you had mentioned a concept that you describe as a frictionless ownership experience. Elaborate, if you wouldn't mind. What makes the ownership experience frictionless, which is a big tall order, but I think your mindset probably moves well in that direction.
Yeah. So, Rick, the definition of a frictionless ownership experience for the Cypriot owner is one that looks at the whole process in a holistic nature. Just to give an idea of what our market represents. In preparing for this call, I did some tracking on BoatPro, Boat International's amazing tracking platform. Yeah. There are 6,127 yachts as we speak in the market in operation with a heartbeat or active AIS.
Cool.
Our growth rate for the market over 24 meters is about 200 vessels per year. So we grow at a very, I would say, calculated growth rate. To give you an example, Ferrari made 8,000 cars last year. Lamborghini made 9,000. I use that as a comparison. We grow at 200 vessels per year.
Right.
Now, with 6,000 in the market, that's 6,000 owners that have an asset that's the average price anywhere between, let's call it, 6 million up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we're looking at a frictionless environment for an owner, the process has not been defined, or the customer journey. So when you look at the ownership experience, it's one that should start without any concern or worry, very similar to an aircraft industry, private aviation. So the definition that I'm using, in my opinion, is one where the owner sees value and joy, whether he's using it, whether he's having it serviced, whether he's having it chartered, or whether it's at an IGY dock. My point is, in the life cycle of the customer journey, there has to be a definite emphasis on making sure that owner has value directly and indirectly throughout the process.
Love that. And you know that Herb and I, Herb Magby, I'm going to throw him in this conversation real quick, are putting something together right now with that same mindset, and that we call it concierge ownership experience. Mm-hmm. But too often I've seen the entry moment becomes confused and becomes burdensome. An owner is coming in possibly for the first time.
Yes.
Is working with his broker, buying a boat, and then takes delivery and realizes pre-purchase survey didn't come through well. There's a bunch of deficiencies that they don't expect. or there's just unexpected expenses that weren't on his radar. And I think as an industry, we can do better. And that's something that Herb and I are going to work towards. And I think that is not far off the mark where you're bringing these owners into your facilities and saying, okay, welcome. Now help us help you give you a much better experience.
Yes. And, you know, I have to commend the team, our team at IGY, from their president, Steve English, through our entire chain of command. But what we've developed to change, and part of the discussion I wanted to have with you was bring out what's changing the industry. What's important to, and I emphasize this point, we're a small business. 80% of the businesses in the super eight industry are 80 employees and less. The Small Business Association of America puts small businesses 500 or less. We easily make that mark. Oh, yes. But for ease of math, that's 80%. So getting to the point, what we've developed as a team, led by our president and managed by an amazing young professional, Gilly Wano, which is IGY Trident. The point of a frictionless ownership experience is one that drives value to the owner, where they pull in without a reservation, they have special accommodations made for the vessel, and they're able to utilize this asset to their full enjoyment. So it's not just about the reservations process. And you and I were discussing earlier about the crew.
Right.
We're working with Forbes Travel Guide to establish certain hierarchy and standards in the pace. There's always, if you're not measuring something, it cannot be improved. So what's the time for turnaround charter? What's the time to have dinner ready? Just some standards in place, working with Forbes Travel Guide, one of the best rating agencies in the industry, to help crew develop for the benefit of the owner, some standardized processes. And all of this comes back to a frictionless ownership experience.
I'm glad you brought the Trident program in there. I noticed that when I was doing a real pre-show research, and that sounded like a really fascinating program.
Yeah, it's new. It's scary.
It's everything new can be.
Yeah, I think what the team at IGY has created, and this goes to the point of it, guaranteed. What is guaranteed in our industry, Rick? There has to be data. And everyone looking at the amalgamations or, you know, bringing together of companies, there's a reason for this. The more data, the better decisions that can be made. And in this case, Trident's able to use data to benefit that owner. It's an amazing experience. Do they like a preferential view? Do they have more crew? And also within Trident, we're not forgetting in that ownership experience the crew. Case in point, we've taken the crews on balloon expedition, you know, hot air balloon rides, or we've made sure that the stew got a proper birthday festivity. But all of these are little things that we've not done. Case in point, when you're a small business, it's difficult. But when you collect and work together, you're able to deliver a new level. And case in point, IGY Trident at the collective level offers guaranteed dockage without reservation. And we're working on with our legal team, single point documentation.
Wow.
Globally.
Wow.
Yes.
So that would be huge.
Huge, bro.
That is such a barrier, don't want to be cliche, barrier to entry.
Correct.
But, you know, the documentation, the flag issues, you know, doing everything that needs to be done, move boats from point A to point B.
Exactly.
From point A to point B.
Correct.
That becomes logistically a challenge.
Correct.
Listen, for my own last couple of years running a yacht management company, I can tell you that some of our bigger challenges were dockage.
Correct.
Working with our fleet, helping them get into marinas and facilities that they desire to be into.
Sometimes at the highest point times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they never want to come in at the low time.
Right? You know, it's New Year's Eve, it's special charters. And I think working with everyone in the industry, there are some amazing individuals. You know, to give you an example of crew, if we take 6,000 vessels with active AIS as of today, multiply that, we're dealing with 30,000 crew. Those are 30,000 professionals in the market. And, you know, I have to give credit to persons like Captain Sandy or the motor yacht Loon. They're putting information out there that shows the professionalism and what it takes for those 30,000 crew. And I mean, just the basic, the SGCW, you know, basic standard approach, and then going all the way up to captain. So all of this is to help the owner enjoy the experience, whether he's on the boat. And you and I both know, we were joking about it, the average time on a vessel whether large or small, is 30 days of the year.
I know.
It's 8%.
Very valuable days for the owner.
Yeah, I've got a joke for you. I also did it for a car. The car for a year is 17,000 minutes. Just to give the comparison, I think that's 8 days in a car per year.
Wow.
So I'm just giving you a comparable.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You're good with the numbers there, Bert.
As long as it makes sense.
It's funny. Elon Musk was talking about the amount of time people use a car, and he's trying to say, it really doesn't make sense to own a car if you think about actually how much you use it, you know.
Nothing to add. Nothing to add.
So now you just said again on this concept of the sacred triad, sacred trinity.
Yes.
Because the second leg of that is fruit.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned. And most people I have these conversations with tend to agree with me that the blood pressure of our industry, the health of our industry, is often read by the health of these circumstances. So I have observed over the last many years, and I think I'm picking up on that here as well, GY, right in the facilities, shipyard facilities are now investing in crew amenities. Mm-hmm. Rybovich did a great job of that a number of years ago when they redid the south yard of Rybovich and they put in the whole crew facility.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant at the time. It's still brilliant. Safe Harbors is doing the same thing. LMC is now seeing some of those projects. The Kellys, when they came in and took over Bradford's and then acquired Roscioli, one of the first things they've done is to enhance their facility and create space and facility for crew.
Mm-hmm.
Why it took so long as an industry to pay attention, I don't really get. But I think we have taken too much time to finally get here, and I'm really pleased to see it. But as you expand destinations and facilities, it smells to me like the crew amenities are important to IGY.
Yes, and I appreciate that. You gave some great examples. Those are wonderful companies who have definitely pushed the crew angle. To give you an example of where we are in reality, 34% of an operating budget of a shipyard on RUF, my opinion, is on crew. That represents one of the largest expenditures, if not the largest, second only to maintenance.
Yeah.
Here's the point.
Easily.
Yeah. I think when you're building a destination, the same could be for your yacht builders. What do you put the attention on for crew facilities? We've been fortunate to be driven by a wonderful gentleman in operations, Kenny Jones. He has made it a focal point to ensure that point of the spear was always the crew. Their happiness, working with them directly. And that includes the gym. That includes the office. That includes making sure there's logistics. Restrooms, showers, building on that. I think we've always had that ethos, even from our former chairman and now working within the Marine-Max group. That was always part of the equation. I think to answer your question, why did it take so long? Without a real focus of analyzing the data and understanding comparatively, okay, you've got all of these young persons who need the support and guidance. In a sense, they're amazing professionals. And they're under a very stressful job. The point is, who is championing that discussion? And I think working within the IGY framework, that was always in play. Full credit to Rybovich and what they did. I've toured that facility. Just really good point of the spirit discussions. And when you're dealing with a growing crew, international, and just understanding them, it really breaks the point to say this.
Right.
It had to come around. It took longer. From the facility standpoint, and this goes to another point, shipyard marinas are really strong investment in the future and a real viable business model. But you've got to look at it over time. It is not a frequently transactional asset. It stays with an owner. So with IGY, we've been fortunate enough to work with visionaries, presidents, and chairmen that have said, look, the crew is a definite focus to move forward. But if you're dealing with a single marina, or an operation that doesn't have the capital to look at it, you will face challenges.
Sure.
And nothing wrong with it. Nope. You just have to look at your dock structure and so forth.
Right. No, it'll eventually be a strong economic driver and model that there will be a preference for going into the marine facilities, shipyard facilities that pay attention to the group.
Well said.
I'm not going to jump too far off the track here, but I'll tell you that I'm currently pushing designers, builders, and every owner that I can sit with and listen. Mm-hmm. Talking about new builds and start really thinking about crew amenities, crew facilities on board the vessel.
Correct.
So few vessels are really built with any grew convenience or amenities in mind beyond just what the minimum requirements they have to achieve to be compliant with the boat.
Yep.
So, you know, crews are often stuck in very small, tight spaces for long periods of time. It's uncomfortable. And it's
correct.
Reasons we have so much attrition in crew. I think as we find new propulsion technologies and engineering technologies that will actually create more space on these boats, found space should be considered to create better facilities for crew to, again, I think the industry as a whole will improve when the crew's lot in life improves.
Yeah, I also think working with just an understanding of what is developed for the crew from a process standpoint. There is the infrastructure, but I think, Rick, what's very important is understanding that these are incredibly hardworking people.
Oh, yeah.
And they go through training. And I think, and we'll touch on this towards, you know, further in the discussion, but the entry, during, and exit for their careers, how are we looking after these wonderful people? You know, whatever view you take, they make this industry work.
Absolutely, sure. So segueing from there into, you know, you guys have expanded destinations. I'm sure that's going to be an ongoing, continual process. What's new? What are you guys opening up, or what's recently brought forward that people listening to this conversation should be aware of?
Well, I think, you know, building on an overview to take it into IGY and the wider business is this is an amazing industry. For far too long, there has been a focus more on, let us call it, a direction from a face value. But my goal as chairman and in my role with IGY is to expose the wider industry. And many people see the yacht and they say, who is it for? What they're forgetting is we are an economic driver.
Yeah.
The impact of what we bring is greater than, I'll give you an example. The Florida budget for tourism is $100 million. That's 10 of our assets.
Wow.
And let me explain, the yachts.
Yeah.
So the point is, as IGY grows, we're looking for strategic destinations, as in Georgia.
Sedan.
Yeah.
That's just recently.
But it also brings a new economic driver for the region.
Right.
Our facility in SET, we're using in-water shipyard services to work alongside many of the shipyards and so forth to cover some of that work. So this all goes back to the frictionless ownership experience.
Love it.
Please understand, it's not just the owner. What can we do to make the cruise life better?
Right.
Working with Trident is to make it go through a process where you don't have a hiccup. And I think that's where things will change. And that's all coming from data and looking at, okay, what does a large boat need, or what does a crew need? So from our standpoint, from IGY, I think the two main things for us are looking at destinations that are exciting. You know, I used to coin the term that having a mega yacht or large yacht at your destination was hitting the economic lottery. I'll go further now. It's really our special forces for your economy.
Right.
That sends a message immediately.
So you said, and this is interesting, a lot of people don't realize this, the typical owner, 30, 32 days on board is
correct.
So we have more.
Yeah, plus, minus, but let's use that.
Yeah. Bobby Genovese probably gets a few more than most, but but you're right. It's precious time.
Correct.
So what do you guys do? You create these wonderful destinations. The crew and owners bring their boats to your facilities. The quality time on board, once you're in the facility, what do the owners and guests and what do they have to look forward to? What are you bringing to the table that adds to that experience?
The key thing for our owners is to make them feel that they're in an environment that is conducive to what they want.
Yes.
And I think building on what we've done at every new destination or looking at what the owner needs, the owner may need logistics to get to the marina from whatever transportation he uses as quickly as possible. You know, when you're looking at either a Trident solution, which we'll coordinate for you, or some amazing apps like the Boatyard app, run by Nathan here. These are all about making sure that owner, let me be honest, whether he has a 12-foot boat, whether he has a 400-foot boat, it's what is the environment like? You know, one of my mentors uses famous phrase, marinas used to be test by touch. You pull in, can I take it? Is it engineering design? Well, as you know, Rick, a large vessel requires certain engineering and dynamics conducive to that vessel. And I think what we're bringing is not matching it, but creating unrivaled experiences. The fueling, gray water pump out,
All of these aspects make a holistic experience.
Exactly. You know, and of course, going back to crew.
Enough water to run the air conditioning system.
Exactly. So whether it's new destinations, you know, like what we're looking at in the Middle East with Sindala and the NEO project, or, you know, Savannah, Georgia, it's what destination, what can you bring in the unique culture? What's the touch point, the DNA that you can bring out so that when you bring your vessel there, it's an exciting and wonderful experience, not just a regular experience where you're just tired.
Right. No, I think that's important. And I have noticed, and I'm sure you have over the years, that these owners, and oftentimes fueled by the cruise enthusiasm,
correct,
wants to travel to interesting new places. They don't want to do the same route they've been doing. And, you know, so we're seeing more expeditions and more planes going far abroad. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that not just IGY, but the marine industry in general needs to be and is looking at this and trying to see how they can facilitate shipyards and facilities in places where we start seeing new trends.
Yeah. And I think, Rick, building on what you said, to put it in practical terms, every single destination we work with has a tourism board or they have aspects of business development.
Yes.
What business do you know that can bring in $10 to $14 million asset to support that economy within a day, within an hour?
Right.
Now, if you look at it from a point of view of the owner, that owner needs to feel that frictionless environment to say, look, this experience is what is unrivaling what I expected. When you're looking at a passion project, such as building a yacht or even purchasing a small yacht, it doesn't have to be huge. But in the shipyard industry, the luster remains when the process is functional and brings value.
I like that.
The minute it stops, you know, we work with some amazing management companies. And some of the key points that I've learned from some wonderful people are, we get on the boat.
Ah, yes.
We understand, how does the crew work? Is the chemistry right? And I think building on that, those are niche examples that we bring out, or at least examples that I've seen work to change industry.
I would say that any management company worth its salt would endorse that and emulate that. Mm-hmm. In my recent experience, we were always encouraging our yacht managers, and I myself would show up anytime we saw a boat in our arena that was in our area, or we were in an area where we saw one of our boats, we'd be on board.
Yeah,
you can't know what's going on if you can't touch, taste, and feel of culture. And, you know, going back to the crew piece, it's so important that the culture on board is healthy. And sometimes it's that old adage, one bad apple. And this is, again, where I'll segue to what Herb and I are putting together right now, in that if you have what I call compassionate crew management, mm-hmm. if you bring a level of understanding of what the crew endures, I think endurance is the right word. These are not easy jobs. Mm-hmm. This is not a below decks redo. This is high stress, at times very dangerous work by people from different cultures, mm-hmm. from all over the world, predominantly young people.
Correct.
Sometimes their first time away from home, first time at sea. Mm-hmm. We have to pay attention to that, because if we treat them well and we give them the support they need, they become the next generation of yachting professionals. And they eventually rotate, migrate to shore, and then you start the next generation of businesses that keep mm-hmm. our business healthy. But if we ignore them, if we disrespect them, if we don't pay attention to them, they blow out. The owners have bad experiences. The vessel has issues. You know, it's a negative value equation. So I think it's important that anybody that's touching these boats, interacting with crew, do so with a level of understanding and compassion, mm-hmm. but at the same time, professionalism. Mm-hmm. I would say that if we're going on a boat and we saw that something wasn't quite right, a breakfast or a lunch or a meal on the crew mess would be step number one conversation. Some conversations individually important, because sometimes it is that adage, one bad apple. But instead of taking that one bad apple and throwing it away, maybe it's just an apple that doesn't belong in that crew, mm-hmm. but would do flourish in another crew. And that's where I think good management comes into place and say, okay, we're going to shuffle that a little bit. And mm-hmm. we're going to put somebody else in this position. We're going to move you to another boat, mm-hmm. and we'll bring this culture back to where it needs to be, so everybody can work well together and the owner achieves the experience the owner's looking for.
Sure. And building on what you said, from a point of view of the culture, I rate all aspects of our industry that get our message out there. I think Below Deck has done a good job in presenting the aspects of the complexity of the environments that we work in.
Indeed.
Building on that, taking it toward the Trident angle is, what are the standards, right? What are the standards? Because you have to, in educating the younger, and I'm old now, but I'm going to say, in education, once you know the standards, you're able to articulate that.
Did you age out of YQY already?
Oh, I long time ago. Hats off to YQY.
Big time.
Big time. But I think building on what you said, there has to be an approach toward development, structure, continuity.
Yes.
And that's where I'm a big fan of Ken Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What he brings out as far as the culture for the maritime community is amazing.
It's infectious.
Yes.
It regulates.
It is infectious. Now, to that point, the tender market, a real look at it. Remember, tenders now are totally different. And I'm happy to say in the marina game, they do add length to the vessel.
It's just a fact of life.
It's a fact of life. But my point is, when you're looking at data and you're looking at continuity of data, and that's what the Marine Max team has really embraced with us, is really looking at what's the big picture,
right?
Because it is. And therefore, you're able to tell crew, okay, look, you're going to work for X amount of time. Here's the standards. Here's the processes. That builds an understanding. An understanding builds a real, how do I say, a more intimate appreciation for what needs to be done aboard vessel. Because if you go into it with those eyes, you know, when people, when companies and all over the world come to say, hey, you should put a marina here. Okay. What was the visitation? What depth of water, migratory patterns, some amazing destinations like Costa Rica or Turks and Caicos, including Colombia, have really embraced the process of improving and building an infrastructure without
that. So important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which
makes no sense to bring boats someplace that they can't support.
The exactly. And there are the one-offs. Don't get me wrong.
Of course.
If you have, you can do the one-off. But if you're looking to build an economy that supports small businesses, right, whether it's the florist, whether it's the dock hands, it just has to be a look in the eye view to say, look, here's what it takes to deliver for these companies.
Let me ask you this too, because mm-hmm. you talk about supporting crew. Mm-hmm. So important is crew training, crew education, their continuing process of staying current. We're in a very special place here in South Florida. There's a number of training agencies. Does IGY get behind crew training or help facilitate or encourage that in your programs?
Well, once again, we work with all of the top crew training facilities. And I think what is important for us as an organization is understanding the journey. What's the journey of the crew? What are their expectations? Is it a career path? We have hired many crew that now work within IGY. But to answer your question, I'll take a step back. And it goes to our final point. What is the entry and exit strategy?
This brings that up.
The asset of the crew? Are they looking to... A good friend of mine is Lord Luke Hammond.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of his. And
I as well.
I have had the privilege and the honor of seeing crew move up the chain. And it's important as we as IGY look at crew training. One of the key things we've done is with the Trident program is train the Forbes Travel Guide training.
Yeah.
Oh, and the IGY Trident members have access to Forbes Travel Guide training. And what that does, Rick, is give them a different exposure toward the service industry. And we're not talking, this program has never been done before, has never been done in the industry before. Do not get me wrong. There are training programs here, STCW and so on. This is a program to help. What is the structure and means by which to benefit the owner on board and how to look at situations, whether that's serving correctly, whether that's looking at handling conflict, look to your point and culture. And but here's what else brings a certificate to that to show the owner that Forbes Travel Guide trained this Trident vessel and takes it further with enough crew, then you can get the vessel. So all I'm saying
is value in that.
That's the point. Without a full metric environment, then we go back to the past. And I think moving forward, it's just very exciting to work with crew and the professionalism that we can bring, but also give them something they can say, look, I completed this, I'm part of this, and move forward.
So that ties into what you were talking about, the plan entry, plan exit strategies. This is owners. This is crew. This is people involved.
Totally correct.
Directly with the boats.
Totally correct.
I think, you know, just wrapping up, Rick, it's important, whether you're a management company, whether you're an owner, where is the process of how long you're looking at? Because if you understand it, then you can extend it. We all know it's the bell curve. There's excitement, the plateau. Our goal in any, in our measurable graphics is to extend that time and that enjoyment. The vessel, as you own a management company, you've got certain certifications for the vessel.
Yeah.
Is that the right budgeting year to do it?
Yeah.
You've got time in the yard. Can you use in-water service as opposed to putting it in the yard? Or does it need to work with the yard and so forth? So all I'm saying is the more communication and clarity we bring, the owner can understand, I'm getting into this. I know what I'm getting into.
There you go.
And I'm ready to get out. But hopefully it leads to
I was successful. Stair step instead of bug belt.
Yes.
Stair step. Somebody comes out or she comes out and says, you know, that was so cool. I want to do it again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Either bigger or more range or whatever it looks like. But
I
do that's my messaging. And what I'm trying to do in this podcast is to say the health of our industry is based on the owner satisfaction, crew success, pull all that together, make it magical, support the shipyards, and we have a sustainable industry.
Yes.
And that's what's important. Or I can't say how much I've enjoyed this conversation. This has been great. I have to give a big shout out to Yachting International Radio, Rhea, who produces this show. Thank you so much.
She's awesome.
She is amazing.
Really amazing.
She's amazing. We are having fun and look forward to the next opportunity you and I have to sit down and have a conversation. I'm sure it's going to happen. Let's not make it too long.
I hope it was valuable to the listeners. It was a pleasure.
It was a real pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you.